Today's music begins with two hymns on the chimes. Let us hope when hope seems hopeless, and Almighty God, your word is cast, with the latter being today's hymn after the sermon. Following the chimes, you'll hear our prelude, a piano arrangement by Larry Shackley of the tune San Dinio. This popular tune is paired with many hymns, and today it is paired with the hymn God Made from One Blood. You'll hear this tune again during the postlude, presented in an organ setting by J. Burt Carlson. After the prelude is our opening hymn, Community of Christ. You'll hear the voices of Liz Vanderberg and Bill Leslie helping to lead today's sung hymns. Liz and Bill are positioned in front of the pulpit and lectern and are singing with individual microphones that are facing the empty sanctuary. While it is not safe to gather in large groups and sing, we are excited to take this step to enhance worship in a safe way. Thank you, Liz and Bill, for your leadership. Finally, the music before the sermon will be a piano arrangement by John Carter of the Michael W. Smith song, Thy Word. The lyrics to this song are based on verses in today's appointed psalm, Psalm 119.
As we enter into worship, I invite you to join with me in taking a deep breath. Breathe in God's Spirit and presence wherever you may be. Breathe out all that is weighing you down and distracting you at this moment. Take a moment to feel God around you, within you, and among us. And as we worship, may you always remember that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you.
Thank you.
In 1858, while running for the Senate, Abraham Lincoln drew on the words of Jesus that we find in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, when Lincoln wrote, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Lincoln recognized the need for justice and change and was willing to state what he believed regardless of the cost. He believed in a unity that did not yet exist. And when he became President of the United States, he acted on that belief. Our worship theme for today, A House Divided, is a reference to the rift between two brothers, Jacob and Esau, and the impact that division had not only on their immediate family, but on generations to come. For so many reasons, today's theme is timely, because our nation is a house divided, in desperate need of healing on every level. Sadly, leaders on both sides of the aisle are fueling the dysfunction, the rift, rather than working to mend it. Not unlike Isaac and Rebecca in the scripture lesson we'll be looking at more closely in just a bit. As people of faith, we are called to live in unity and harmony with one another, as much as it is possible to do so, to be as concerned about the well-being of our neighbor as we are about our own well-being. We are called to be menders of rifts, builders of bridges, encouragers of that which brings people together, rather than widening the gap that separates them from one another. May we have the courage to live up to our calling, and may our time together now help equip us for this important work, even as we worship, in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
As we confess our sins, I invite you to join with me in praying the prayer of confession. Words are available on our website and Facebook page. If you do not have those words in front of you, I simply invite you to be with us now in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have indeed called us as people of faith to live in peace and harmony with one another. You have challenged us to be as concerned about the well-being of our neighbor as we are about our own well-being. But this is hard. It is so much easier to avoid this difficult work by focusing only on ourselves and those who are closest to us. Forgive us, loving God, and stir within us a deep desire to treat others not only as we would like to be treated, but as they would like to be treated. Give us the courage to step outside of our safe and familiar bubbles so that we might be able to truly see our neighbor and dare to listen and understand as they share their stories and lives with us. May we be a people who sow acceptance and compassion rather than exclusion and judgment. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, God's promise to us is sure. We know that when we confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just. God forgives our sins and cleanses us from all that is not right. The slate is wiped clean. May we claim this gift. May we never take it for granted. And may we live knowing that it makes a difference. Amen.
Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, verses 19 through 34. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, of the Aramean of Paddan Aram, sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first one came out red, and his body like a hairy mantle, so they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore, he was called Edom. Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And our gospel reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. I have another special message for our children and our young at heart, so listen closely. Do you know what it means when someone says they have a green thumb? I remember the first time I heard someone say that when I was a kid, and my first thought was, you might want to get that looked at. Now, it sounds a little silly, but having a green thumb really means that you are exceptionally good at gardening, at growing plants, and keeping all sorts of green things alive and thriving. This week, our scripture passage is from the Gospel according to Matthew, and it is Jesus' parable of the sower. Now, a parable is a simple story used to teach a lesson. Jesus tells a lot of them. And a sower is someone who plants seeds, like a gardener or a farmer, green thumb people. Turns out Jesus kind of has a green thumb too. He often used farming or planting word pictures when he taught people, because many people at the time worked with farms, so they could understand what he was talking about. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus told a story to explain how people respond in different ways to hearing God's word and receiving God's love. But before we talk about that, I wanted to see how many green thumbs we have out there. So here's a question. What do we need to plant something? If I wanted to make a garden or if I worked on a farm, there are some essential things I'd need to plant a garden. What are those things? I would need something to put the plant in, of course. I would certainly need sunshine and water. I would need the right kind of seeds. If I want flowers to grow, I would plant flower seeds. If I want tomatoes, I would plant tomatoes. But perhaps the most important thing of all is the soil. Seeds must have the right kind of soil so that they can put down roots and grow up big and strong from there. And that is exactly what the parable Jesus taught was all about. He explained that our hearts can be kind of like soil, and we want our hearts to be ready to learn and grow from hearing the messages of the Bible, learning about God's love, and experiencing the good news of Jesus in our very own lives. Jesus said that God is kind of like a farmer, and he gives us his word, his love, like seeds. But it doesn't end there. It's not just about receiving God's love and calling it a day. We need to make sure that the soil of our hearts is a good place for God's love to land. Jesus said that some hearts are like rocks. They hear the word of God, but then there's nowhere for the roots to grow down deep. So even if something grows, it won't last. Seeds that fall on rocks, Jesus said, are like people who listen to the words of the Bible, to the word of God, but everything just kind of lays on the surface. They don't really stick with their faith when things get tough. It would be like coming to church a few times and sort of listening to the message, but then giving up if a challenge came along. Jesus also said that some hearts are like weeds or thorns. In a garden, we have to pick the weeds out so they don't take over and choke up the good stuff. A heart full of weeds might belong to someone who hears and feels the word of God, but then other things take priority and get them all distracted from living into their faith. The gospel goes in one ear and out the other, not doing anything that might truly impact them and change the way they live. Jesus described one other place for the seeds of his love to potentially fall: good soil. You know, the kind that's all fresh and soft and ready to be planted in. He said that some people will hear God's word, listen to it, and allow their hearts and their lives to be changed by it. Their hearts are strong, but soft. They spread love and compassion and hope to everyone they meet. Those people, like rich, healthy soil, will have lives that bless others, just as good soil will provide a place for healthy plants to grow. We want our hearts to be like that good soil. What does that mean, though? And how can we make sure our hearts are good soil places? It's quite simple, really. When we live out our faith, when we pray or read our Bibles, when what we believe is evident in how we act, how we speak, and how we treat one another, there's no stopping the growth our hearts can experience. We may not all have green thumbs, but God does. Always growing, always sowing. And we can all have green hearts, good soil hearts, ready to receive all the goodness and hope God has for us, alive and growing with God's love. Let's say a prayer together, and then we will join in praying the Lord's Prayer. Green-thumbed God, thank you for sprinkling seeds of your love and your hope in our hearts. Help us to be ready to grab onto them and allow them to grow in our lives. Just like a beautiful garden, may we too take the seeds of your word to add beauty to this world. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.